Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that lion forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Chris,
yeah.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan 202. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. All the way to 5 o'clock when the warm-up show comes your way. Baseball is almost here. We got Juan Soto, we got the Mets, we got the Yankees, but we are going to start before we get to that because we are now 2 days away and we are going to be baseball heavy from here on out. But today, I'm starting to get excited about the Giants quarterback situation. That's right, I am. I'm talking myself into it. Because if you listened today, if you heard the news, Deion Sanders, father of Shedeur Sanders, and hopefully that's how he will be referred to from now until forever. Deion Sanders, father of Hall of Fame quarterback Shedeur Sanders of the New York Giants. Let's hope so. But if you didn't hear, he was speaking at some live event, speaking to the media, and asked where he thinks his son is going to go in the draft. And he said, hopefully New York. Hopefully New York. Now, as we look at this Giant quarterback situation that we've been talking about so much, right? They signed Jameis Winston, and I'm still hearing everyone from Pete Schrager to everybody still tell me they believe that the New York Giants are still in on Aaron Rodgers. Now, I don't know if that's Aaron Rodgers trying to drum up any kind of sort of market because he's met with Pittsburgh. If he really loved and wanted to go to Pittsburgh, he would have gone to Pittsburgh. It sounds like Minnesota doesn't want him at the moment. Maybe he's just trying to drum up stuff, or maybe this is a safety net in Jameis Winston. And it's a $4 million deal, and they're still on the market to go get another veteran, whether it is Aaron Rodgers or whether it's Russell Wilson. But we know they need to draft a quarterback. And I still believe, as we saw today, Cam Ward's pro day yesterday, threw the ball very well, was very accurate, even had the prototypical rollout throw that Zach Wilson made so famous on his pro day. But he looked accurate. He's strong. He is going to be the first pick in the draft. And it feels like every indication, every day we get closer to this draft, that Cam Ward is going number one to the Tennessee Titans. So why all of a sudden, after being kind of, I don't want to say cryptic, but, you know, Shedeur Sanders has the cleats of the New York Giants colors when they were still the number one pick before his bowl game. And Deion kind of downplays that. Well, we had cleats of every team and, you know, all the other stuff. And no, I would never say no to this team. I would never say no to that team. But why all of a sudden, after not being anywhere near leaning in any one direction, would he suddenly say, hopefully New York? And I'm starting to think of it. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about, well, they could add another veteran plus the drafted quarterback. Think of this quarterback room. If they're able to get Aaron Rodgers on top of Jameis Winston while drafting a quarterback, Russell Wilson, the combination there, as much as I find that weird, we're talking about a room now that would actually be, you know, two veteran quarterbacks, a top overall pick, a guy who throws a ton of touchdown passes with his interceptions in Jameis Winston, let alone a Russell Wilson, who I think is at the end of his rope for the most part, but, I mean, he's done a ton in this league, and you draft a young quarterback, you need to get that guy. That's my point here. You need to get him. Shador wants to play here. Deion wants him here. And as much as I do think he wants to play here, and as much as I do think that was a message a little bit to the Giants, they have an idea. Deion Sanders, Shador Sanders, and the entire Sanders family is well aware of how Brian Daboll feels about Shador, well aware of the Giants. They've spent so much time together. They've went and visited him. They've went and talked to him. Like, they have spent a ton of time for him to know whether or not the Giants want him. And hopefully New York doesn't mean hopefully the New York Giants are going to pick him number three. Because I honestly believe Deion Sanders and Shador feel that that's exactly what will happen. That if he is sitting there at three and the New York Giants are on the clock, that he will be a New York Giant. So ultimately, I don't think hopefully it's in New York is a message to the New York Giants. I think it is a message to the Cleveland Browns sitting at number two. It's a message to the Cleveland Browns, an organization that is even in more disarray than the New York Giants, if you could believe that. But obviously, their quarterback situation with Watson, they've worked out a new contract. They could probably get out of the contract in 2 years, right? They signed Myles Garrett. They were able to at least convince him to stay and not trade him. But you are looking at a team in salary cap disarray. You're looking at a team that ultimately doesn't have a lot of talent outside of a couple of, you know, defensive players and clearly one of, if not the best defensive player in the game. But this is a team that has been notorious for failing quarterbacks, notorious for not winning, notorious for being a dumpster fire of an organization in a very difficult division. That, yes, the Giants are in a very difficult division as well. But I think they want to be in New York. I think they are sending a message to Cleveland that he doesn't want to be there. So when I think of that, and I'm starting to dream of this quarterback room, and I still believe these are the two best quarterbacks. I believe Shador is the second best quarterback in this draft. I believe Shador is a franchise quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he turns around the franchise lickety-split the way Daniels did in Washington or what happened in Houston. Like, I don't know if he's that kind of quarterback, right? I suspect he's not. But is he someone who stands in the pocket? Is he someone who's dealt with poor offensive line? Is he someone who's accurate? Is he someone who's turned two college programs around? Is he someone who can deal with New York, having had a father, having had some money, having been in the spotlight, understanding what this is? Absolutely. I think Shador Sanders is the exact guy, if they cannot move up to number one, to bring in to be the quarterback of the New York Giants. So when I'm starting to get that feel of, wow, you could have an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson and a Jameis Winston to help this kid along, two veterans to be there for the first year of this kid's career, to go out there and throw, you know, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, who's the dream for me, and I still think he's very capable, but if it is Jameis Winston throwing the ball down the field, making Malik Nabers better, making this passing attack much better, helping maybe Theo Johnson, helping Wandell Robinson, helping Slayton, helping Tracy, getting this offense in the right direction, showing us that the offense can work with a decent quarterback of Brian Daboll. Like, all of those things that I'm getting excited about, it's all predicated on getting Shador Sanders. Because I don't necessarily believe in Jackson Dart. I don't necessarily believe in Milroe, all the other quarterbacks that I'm sure many of you are going to want to call me at 888-808-1019 and try and tell me they're better. They're a safer pick. I don't know about the offensive line. I don't know about this. I don't know about the roster. I don't know if Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are even going to be here next year. And then the next regime is stuck with this quarterback. And if you draft the wrong quarterback, it sets you back for the next 35,000 years. And if you do this and if you do that and all the other crap we're trying to cloud our judgment in what's clear as day, third pick overall, no quarterback, you draft and get a quarterback. And this whole friggin' offseason is predicated on the veteran quarterback with the young drafted quarterback. So as I sit here, and to me the message isn't to the New York Giants, because Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders know the Giants probably like him or don't like him, or whatever the case may be, this is to the Cleveland Browns. So as I sit here today, everyone's going to say, well, perfect. He wants to be a Giant. If he falls to three, great. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. Because I'll tell you who else is hearing that the number two pick isn't going to go to the Cleveland Browns. Every other team who may need a quarterback, every other team who has something to say about Shedeur Sanders, every other team from the New York Jets at 7 or the Raiders at 6, even though they got Geno Smith, I have no idea. And you could look at a Cleveland Brown team that had an opportunity to trade Myles Garrett and get a bunch of different picks and chose not to do that because of how good he is. They've already got a great defensive player. Maybe they would view this, knowing they can't take the quarterback because he doesn't want to be here, as an opportunity to trade back and get a lot of picks for what they're dealing with at that roster with their issues with the salary cap and try and rebuild with a bunch of picks. To me, they could trade back multiple times. And the first one should be the New York Giants moving up to 2, because I can't afford anything less. I can't afford not having him. And if now the whole world believes, if other GMs, other executives throughout football, the rest of the collective NFL world maybe gets the same message that I got, that Cleveland is not going to draft Shedeur Sanders, maybe the phone starts to ring off the hook for the Cleveland Browns. If I knew they would just take the player, if they were just going to take Hunter or Carter, then I'd feel better about it. But I don't know. Just like we don't know what's going to happen in draft. I think the unexpected nature of the NFL draft and having the third pick in a two-quarterback class leads to picking up Jameis Winston. I think that tells you right there, when they make the Jameis Winston selection and pay him the $4 million as soon as Aaron Rodgers goes and talks to Pittsburgh, and they make that as just a backup plan to make sure they have at least one veteran in place, like when they rush to do that and they feel the number is perfect enough for them to bring in him as an option, to me that speaks to how comfortable they are with the quarterbacks in this draft, or how comfortable they are with the idea they're going to draft a quarterback. And to me, I don't want to miss out on a player who wants to be here, a player who they know, which other teams don't have to worry about to the level the Giants have to worry about, the level the Jets have to worry about, or if he can make it in New York. With the trials and tribulations, the media, the expectations, everything that in many ways sunk Daniel Jones. A lot of it, and most of it, was terrible coaching. A lot of it was changing coaches and game plans and offensive coordinators on him. A lot of it was the offensive line. But some of it was the pressure. Some of it was dealing with what he had to deal with. Losing in New York, coming to try and be the savior of the New York Giants, is not an easy thing to do. And I do believe this kid not only can thrive in the situation, but wants to. And if the message has been sent to Cleveland, which, again, you could read it a bunch of different ways, but to me, hopefully it's New York. New York's the third pick. They desperately need a quarterback. We all know what we all know. They have met with Shedeur Sanders a bunch of different times. A bunch of different times. It is now late March. The draft is a month away. For weeks and months, Deion Sanders hasn't said anything. And then all of a sudden today, hopefully it's New York. I would think as you get closer to the draft, he's starting to think what we all think, quarterbacks go early. And the idea that the Cleveland Browns could decide to take a quarterback with their quarterback situation is becoming more and more likely as the days go on, because that's what happens. And if there is a message that Cleveland's not in, that we want New York, that we want that third pick, I don't know who's willing to pick up the phone. Because if the Raiders pick up the phone, I don't know how Shedeur Sanders, right? They've been linked for how long? The Raiders and Deion and Shedeur. And maybe Deion wants to be the next head coach in the NFL. How many years does Pete Carroll have as the head coach of the Raiders? Like, there's a lot of different teams who could sneak up knowing Cleveland's not the team and take that pick. And I've seen, I'm not doing it again after we saw what happened against with the Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles, where they trade up and get Smith, the wide receiver, and the Giants feel, well, I'm not going to take Micah Parsons, or I'll trade back because we need a receiver, and they get Young Joka. Like, I don't want to see another team jump up in front of the New York Giants and take him. So if you're willing, here's the point. If you are willing to move up to number one, has been much discussed over the last few weeks. If they are willing to move up to number one to take Cam Ward, if you feel strongly that Shedeur Sanders is your next best bet, you can move up to Cleveland. You still have the same thing I've been talking about with moving up to number one. You afford them to get some picks while still being able to draft Hunter or Carter in that situation, especially if Cam Ward goes number one. And from there, you can still move back if you're Cleveland. You can move back, get picks from the Giants, and then still people may want to move up and see an opportunity to get Carter or Hunter. Like, Cleveland would have a win-win situation moving back down to three, where they could still move back, or they could take one of the two best players in this draft. But if I'm the New York Giants, they are in desperate need of a quarterback. This quarterback room with all the veterans are predicated. Jameis Winston is not the guy to move you forward forever. Like, we all know that. That is a short-lived backup role. They're paying him as such. I mean, he was just in Cleveland. They are in desperate need of a quarterback. They didn't keep him. He was with New Orleans for a long time. They didn't keep him. Like, he has bounced around the league for a reason. And we can get excited about it, and he could sling it and throw it down the field, and maybe Dable coaches some of the turnovers out of him, and Malik Nabers has a big year. But really, ultimately, without the young quarterback behind him, what is the point? The Giants are in desperate need of a starting quarterback. So for me, yes, if all things work out great, Cleveland takes Hunter or Carter, and Shedeur Sanders is sitting there at three, great. But you know what? I can't miss him. I can't. So for me, I think all eyes of the New York Giants should be focused on Cleveland, that number two pick, and how they can move up to secure themselves Shedeur Sanders. I think that's exactly what the Giants should be doing today. Figure out how to move up and make sure you take the quarterback, because I don't want the Raiders or anybody else jumping up to that two spot to take a quarterback where his father just said to the whole world, I don't want to go to Cleveland. They need this quarterback. Do what it takes. Move up to one. Move up to two. It's a two-quarterback draft. Get one of those two first picks. And make sure you get a guy who wants to be here, who's ready to play in New York, who's dealt with being in the spotlight, who's already had money, like, who's already going to be able to deal with all of the other things that come with being the quarterback of the New York Giants, as well as being proficient playing behind a weaker offensive line and taking programs from the depths to the heights. Let's do that. And I don't want to wait around at three to figure out if it will happen. Let's grab the bull by the horns, trade up to number two, and secure Shedeur. That's not bad. Secure Shedeur. I like it. 888, I just came up with it on the spot. How clever am I? You'd think people probably have think tanks. Those ESPN, Fox Sports shows. Craig Carton needs a think tank to come up with secure Shedeur. I just did it on the fly. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the baseball. We'll get to Juan Soto, and will he be booed at Yankee Stadium? I think there's an obvious answer to that. We'll get to it. As we are now 2 days away from opening day. Yankees, Brewers, Mets, Astros, 2 days away. We'll get to it. We'll get to the Juan Soto effect. We'll get to the rotations. We'll get to the final roster spots. We'll get to it all. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for another 2 hours and 40 minutes or so as we take it till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. We'll be right back after this with your calls next on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is, hit
number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Started with the Giant quarterback situation. We'll get to the baseball, we'll get to Juan Soto and whether or not Yankee fans will, should boo him. I'll give you my opinion on that. I did the Rico Bronya last night with Evan for our annual Met Yankee Bet episode where we come up with, you know, bets for different Yankee Met things. I don't even know what it is, but we did it. We have different things. Like the one I came up with was steals versus home runs. What number is going to be higher? Yankee stolen bases from Jazz, Volpe, Dominguez, or home runs from Soto, Vientos, and Alonso. Now, Jazz stole 40 bases last year. And if you look at his numbers as a Yankee in the second half, I mean, he was uber aggressive late in the season. So, I mean, he could steal 50 bases if he has a good year. Same thing with Volpe. If he gets on base, you could be looking at 40 stolen bases. He had 28 last year. And Dominguez has had 30 plus in the minors and can really run. So I'm excited about that. That's why I wanted to make that bet, because as a Yankee fan, I'm very excited about the speed at the bottom of the order as we get ready for the season to start. But we'll get into the baseball in a little bit. I did the Rico Bronya, which is always a fun experience. And, of course, you know, okay, 8 o'clock. Okay, 8 o'clock. Wait, you know what? Can we push it back to 8:30? Okay, 8:30. I'm putting my kids to bed. I'll be there in 15 minutes. Okay, I still need another 10 minutes. I'm like, Ev. Just like the fantasy draft the night before. I mean, Ev, I'm trying to take a little bit of a nap. I like to just get a little bit of sleep in before I get in the car just to make sure I got a little bit of, you know, because with this shift, I've become an excellent I'm a battery now. Like, you used to just have sleep. Now I'm a battery that I'm able to recharge myself with little bits of sleep. I was never that kind of guy. I was always just, I need my sleep. I don't nap much, you know. Now I'm a napper. Now I'm like, oh, if I can get 45 minutes in and just recharge the battery, especially right before I get in the car to wake up a little bit, you know, give myself just a little bit of a nap. And Evan ruined it. And I shouldn't say ruined it because we had fun. But so go check that out. Go check out the Yankee Met bet. Rico Bronya with myself and obviously the great Evan Roberts that we did last night. But we start with the Giants quarterback situation because we're going to get into baseball heavy here over the next few weeks. I mean, you know, we're going to go baseball heavy up until really the week of the draft. As we get to Thursday, we'll have plenty of time for all the baseball. I'm in for Keith on Wednesday night leading into the game, and I'm on midnight after both games on Thursday. So we'll do a lot of baseball over the next few weeks. But I'm fascinated by this quarterback situation, and I'm just paranoid of missing it. I'm paranoid of missing out, man. I'm paranoid of the Giants not getting one of these two quarterbacks. And I really think that Deion Sanders saying, hopefully it's New York, was probably a little bit more of a message to Cleveland than it was the Giants. Because the way they think, like as confident as they are, I think they're worried about getting drafted. I don't think they're worried about falling past the Giants. I really don't. Like, I don't think they think the Giants will pass up on him. I don't. He had the shoes. I don't think they believe they're falling down to past the third pick. I really don't. So why say hopefully the Giants? To tell the Giants to take him? I think they think that's going to happen. So to me, it's a message to Cleveland. And if it's a message to Cleveland, it's a message to the rest of the league. He's not going to Cleveland. Would Cleveland be willing to trade out if other teams would want to move up to get him? Go up, make the trade. To move up one spot, it shouldn't be that much. Even then, Cleveland could still move down at 3, because now you could have teams looking at Hunter or Carter at 3 to move up, and you could get a bunch of picks for one of those two players who are the two best players in this draft. So Cleveland could move down, get picks from the Giants, and then still get almost as good a package to move up to number 2. to take either Hunter or Carter. So I'd be on the phone right now with the Cleveland Browns and seeing what they would want to move up one slot, or for them to move down one slot, because I want to make sure I get him. He wants to be here. I want to get him. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ned in Hillsdale. What's up, Ned?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. First, how are you, buddy?
Caller, long-time listener. Yeah, I totally agree with you 100% about that second pick. They have to do it. They have no other choice. Question is, what if Cleveland's willing to do it? What would they have to give up for that? I hate to lose that 36th pick.
It's probably going to cost you that. I don't know how much more than that. I'll be totally honest with you. To move up, they have that draft calculator, the draft points chart.
Right.
I the ability to only move back one and still provide them the chance to take one of those two generational talents or still move back. Like, I would think like a second and a fifth, maybe second and a fourth.
I believe they have two or maybe three second picks. I know they got one of those compensation picks last year. I think they have.
Hold on, Ned. We're going to get it. Fleegs, what are you telling me? When the Bears and the Niners did it,
when the Bears traded up for Mitchell Trubisky,
yes,
they went from 3 to 2. They gave up their third round pick that year, their fourth round pick that year, and their third round pick the following year.
No second round picks, 2 threes and a 4. I would do that right now.
I would do that.
I would do that right now. You still get your top second pick.
Exactly.
That second round pick. If I lose this year's 3, that's fine. And then lose this year's 4 and next year's 3. That exact pick, that exact trade, I would do that in a second to make sure I get Shedeur Sanders.
But at the end of the day, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, a lot of Giant fans, I mean, I hang out with a lot. I was a previous season ticket holder.
Do you belong to any social media groups?
Oh, a couple of them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do you run into a Brett from Long Island there, though?
No, I don't.
You're not in one of those 11 social media groups.
No.
Okay, good.
No,
good.
Not at all.
Good for you. Good for you.
The crew I hang out with, all Giant fans, they don't want nothing to do with your daughter.
No, I know.
I want the guy.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah, I mean, so do I. And thank you for the call, Ned. Listen, a lot of Giant fans don't, and I get it. They're afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid of what this franchise has been. They're scared off by Daniel Jones. They're afraid of what a failed quarterback is, because they've had it, you know, buried in their minds that if you draft a quarterback and you're wrong, it's the worst thing that could happen to a franchise, as if drafting another position and being wrong is any worse. The only thing is, which is fair, and I've said it a bunch, the quarterbacks are the hardest position to grade. It's the hardest position to scout. It's the hardest position to be right on. So you're more likely to be wrong on the quarterback than any other position. That's probably fair. But being wrong, and look at what being wrong about Evan Neal has done to this franchise. Like, if you're wrong with a top pick, it kills you no matter what position it is. But the quarterback lifts you up like no other position can. Like, it's just worth it for the New York Giants. And I do think Shedeur Sanders, while I don't know if he's Jaden Daniels, in fact, I don't think he is, not right away. I don't know if he's Joe Burrow. I don't know if he's, you know, one of the great. I don't know if you put him in 5 years from now, you look at him as one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. But guess what? Neither was Eli Manning. Eli Manning was never a top 5 quarterback in the NFL, ever. And it worked out just fine. I do believe he's a franchise quarterback, and I do believe he's built for the market. And right now, that's good enough for me when I'm looking around the rest of these quarterbacks and where the Giants are. That's what I want. And I would move up. Now they've got at least a safety net in Jameis Winston. They're still looking at Aaron Rodgers. I'm seeing reports that they believe they're still in on Aaron Rodgers. Maybe I'm wrong on that, and that's still a possibility. And you could have Aaron Rodgers and Jameis Winston there. That guarantees you the full year of sitting for Shedeur Sanders, plus 2 veterans coming from different places, different backgrounds, different experiences through the NFL that could really help mold this kid and help this kid throughout his first year. Like, I just think this is the time to go all in at the quarterback position. Get 2 veterans, draft Shedeur Sanders, and move up to get him to make sure it gets done. I want to make sure I have him. And I don't know what happens at number 2. I don't know. Cleveland might not care what Deion Sanders has to say and take him and convince him to stay there. They did this. They called, you know, they called the bluff of the of Myles Garrett. He wanted out. Called his bluff. Offered him enough money, and now all of a sudden he's happy to be a Brown. Like, I don't know. Or they might say, well, listen, if I can't get him, just think of, you know, people, what people will be willing to take to move up to number two and get a quarterback. I can't risk it. Move up to number two and get him. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Hey, you're talking about that sleep thing. I had a question because there was a whispering going on at the tap room over the weekend.
I'm sure there was.
If somebody gifted you one of those high-end Teslas that could drive themselves, mm-hmm. would you be able to sleep the whole way to work and home with the, you know, that GPS system that drives itself?
I would have to be very secure in it. It wouldn't be the first time I did it, but if I was in the car for 50 times and I've watched it do it perfectly every time, then, yeah, maybe I could, sure.
All right, because you pick up like an hour and a half each way,
that would
right?
be, yeah.
Everybody who's commuting
yes.
is like an hour and a half for everybody.
That would be tremendous.
Right?
I don't know if you remember the movie, and I don't expect you to necessarily, but it was one of my favorites as a kid for whatever reason. I liked Jean-Claude Van Damme, and he made a movie called Time Cop. And in that movie,
sure, I remember that.
Okay, so yeah, Time Cop. In that movie, he got in the car and just said home and then went into the back seat, pulled out a pillow, and went to sleep. And I was like, that's the greatest thing ever. Like, that's the dream. Like, if I could just walk out of this building right now, get into the car and say home, and then just go lay down in the back seat with a pillow, that would be freaking amazing. That would impact my life enormously. So yes, as long as I felt comfortable in it, absolutely I would be interested in such a happening going on in my life.
I wonder if all the what do they call their cars? If they all have it, the low end ones and the high end.
Oh, the Teslas? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
But all right, let me throw something at you and just come at you a different way. I don't care about getting Sanders, or I'm worried about Cleveland doing something or taking them hostage and then them asking if they want to trade or something because they just want to be there. But, you know, last year there was one kid, a quarterback, who said if you had to pick one team that would thought you'd go to, J.J. McCarthy said.
The New York Giants.
The Giants.
He did.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big smokescreen, right?
Not on his part. I think he, maybe they...
On the Giants' part, it's a big smokescreen. If they're going to take him,
I don't think they ever told him he was going to take him. I think he just thought the meeting went really well.
Dude, they tell every kid that they're going to take him.
I don't think so.
Come on.
I don't think they lie and say flat out, we're going to take you. It happens occasionally.
I'll go with you with Shador if he's there. The only problem with Shador and Cam is they got a little hitch in their arm. I like Shador better, but they got a little hitch in their arm when they throw the balls like they're pushing it. But if the pick comes in at three and Shador's still on the board, what I would do is immediately, if I'm Mara, is fire Dable right there and have Deion walk up to the podium and announce it and put on the head coaching hat and say, the next quarterback, you know, my son, and let it begin right there. Because that's where it's going to end up. So you might as well start
right
there.
Well, I mean, you don't know that. I hear what you're saying.
Of course I do.
Of course you do. I hear, and thank you for the call, Eddie. Yeah, it's not crazy that he would want to coach his son. I'm sure a lot of people have felt that way for a long time. I think, you know, it's not crazy. I don't know if I would do it this year necessarily, but it would be hard to resist that if this thing doesn't get turned around for Brian Dable in a year, no question. Because it makes sense, like, right? If Shador Sanders doesn't play this year at all, or does and doesn't look good, and they decide to move on from Shane and Dable, you're kind of locked into him off of 1 year. I mean, you could bring in him, his father, who's been with him forever, and then you bring in Pat Shurmur as the offensive coordinator. His offensive coordinator in Colorado is obviously very familiar with the New York Giants as a former head coach. So I hear what you're saying. That would actually be funny, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I think Brian Daboll's a good offensive coach. I still do, and I think he'll get the most out of him. I think this is what he was hired to do. This is what he does best, and I'm looking forward to him having a couple years here to develop Sanders. But yeah, I wouldn't worry about the holding the Giants hostage. What leverage does Cleveland have? Like, I mean, you have the number one pick, the number two pick, no doubt. On its own, it's a product that sells itself, right? It's the number two pick in the NFL draft. So there is no level of them being screwed or having no hand in the situation or no leverage. But at the same time, like, they're either going to take the star player. If they're looking to trade it, you know the quarterback doesn't want to go there. I don't think they would hold up the Giants hostage. I don't know if they can get away with that, but it's not going to be easy. There's no doubt. You're still going to have a value, and the quarterback is important enough to the New York Giants where they're willing to pay for it. So I still think it's what you should do, though. I would love to see them move up, make sure they get this guy, make it happen. He wants to be here. Go make it happen. If it takes two threes and a four, I would do it. If I don't have to give up another first round pick or second round pick, I would definitely do it. I would definitely do it to make sure I get the quarterback I wanted. Let's go to Kevin in Copeg. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, C-Mac?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Barry Bonds, 117 home runs at age 25. My boy Juan Soto's got 201.
Okay, wait. Say one more time. Barry Bonds has how many home runs? 175?
No, 117 at 25. Soto's
okay.
Got 201.
Okay.
You Yankee fans are going to hate watch a baseball player chase Bonds' record for 15 years, 2040.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I mean, he hasn't reached his prime yet. 40 home runs last year. I mean, he's 26.
Yeah, in Yankee Stadium.
Is 50 out of the question for this guy?
No. I mean, I guess it's not out of the question. I don't know if he's a 50 home run guy. And again, when people say this, I'm sorry. I find it hard to believe. I think the idea that he's going to get better than he's been, I find very difficult. I think he could be as good as he's been for a long time. But the idea just because he's 26, when these guys, you know, once you get to this level, I mean, how much better is Juan Soto going to be? Like he was great at 19. He's gotten slightly better. He's had down years off of better years. It's not like it's been a straight trajectory up. Like, that's not been the case. His best year was 2020. 21 and 22 didn't look as good. And then last year, and not that they looked bad, they're still great, don't get me wrong, but they weren't as good as 2020. And then last year, 24, he made the next jump, hitting in front of Judge and hitting at Yankee Stadium. I think you could say that those two things are positives while still saying he's a great player who doesn't need those things. But, like, when guys are great that young, it's not like they hit another stride at 26, 27. So I don't necessarily think we've just tapped in to what Juan Soto is. I think we've seen what Juan Soto is, and it's the third best hitter in the sport and on his way to becoming the best in a couple of years when Judge ages out. So, like, I don't disagree with that. I just don't think he's getting any better. I don't think he's hitting any more home runs. I don't think he's getting any better. I think he's going to be this good for the next 10 years. And is that good enough to chase Bonds? I mean, it's possible. Bonds played for a long time. Bonds hit 73. I mean, you have to hit... I mean, yeah, okay, so just doing the math, it sounds very difficult for him to catch Bonds. I don't think that would happen.
I'll tell you what, though. Lindor came from Cleveland. Beltran came from, what was it, Houston Royals. The fact that he got that 1 year in the Bronx, got the city feel, I'm confident he's not going to have a New York slump.
Oh, yeah, me too. No, me too. I think he's going to have a great year. I have no worries about that whatsoever. I have no worries about Juan Soto being a great player. I'm just saying people will try and make that argument, Kev, about, well, he's still only 26. You could hit your prime. Judge didn't hit his prime until 28, 29. Like, Judge was a slower. Judge went to college. Judge, you know, it took him a little bit more time. Juan Soto was a great player the day he stepped on the major league field at 19 years old. Like, I don't think he's been in the major leagues for a long time. This is obviously his second contract. He's had his free agency period. I don't necessarily think it's not impossible. I don't want to make it seem like it's impossible because I think anything is possible with Juan Soto. I think he's a great player. But I don't necessarily think just because he's only 26 that we're just scratching the surface of Juan Soto. I think what you're seeing is the best of Juan Soto. I think last year is as good as Juan Soto gets. And that's spectacular. And I think he's going to do that for the next 8 to 10 years without question. But I don't think it's like, oh, we're just scratching the surface. He's going to get so much better. He's going to hit his prime. He'll hit 55 home runs. Like, I don't think he's that one. I don't know if he's that kind of hitter. I don't think he's a 50 home run hitter. And honestly, I don't know if you want him to be a 50 home run hitter. Not that there's anything wrong with hitting home runs, but what other aspects of the game come down for him to get the power? Like, I don't know. I don't know. He's a great, great player. I'm not trying to disparage him at all. I just don't think that he's due to hit another level just because he's coming into his 27, 28 year season, year old season. I think he's peaked. I think this is Juan Soto. I think last year is as good as Juan Soto can be. And that's pretty freaking good.
Also, if you factored in, let's say he does hit 50 home runs every year,
yeah,
it would be in his 12th season as a Met where he caught Bonds and passed him.
Yeah.
So even then, which I agree with you, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's so far, that number,
yeah,
I don't know if people realize how many home runs Barry Bonds hit.
No, it's crazy. So yeah, he would have to average, for those 15 years, he has to average 38 home runs a year, Fleeks told me. 38 a year to break Barry Bonds for the next 15 years. That's
and
a lot.
And last year was the only year he went over 38.
Right, and last year was the only year he's ever done it. So he would have to be as good as he was last year, which is the only year he's ever done it, every year for the next 15 years. That's asking a lot. I do not, listen, he's going to be a great player. And you said the Yankee fan is going to hate watch him. I don't dispute that at all. Now, again, I think before you, like within 2 or 3 years, right? Within 2 or 3 years, Juan Soto's going to be a Met. I know Juan Soto's a Met now. By the end of the season, it'll probably feel that way. He was only a Yankee for a year. It was a great year. He hit the home run that sent them to the World Series, and the Mets outbid the New York Yankees to take him away from the Yankees and bring him to the Mets, so that adds a little bit. But like in 2 or 3 years, he's just going to be a Met, and the Yankee fans are kind of get over it. It was only 1 year here. Always be bitter, always be disappointed. I'm not saying that, but like eventually, you know, in 3 years, he's going to have triple the time in a Met uniform than he would a Yankee uniform. Like, it's not like when we were worried that, you know, Bernie Williams was going to go sign with the Red Sox. Like, it's not the same thing. It really isn't. It's devastating because the Mets now jumped up to a level of being able to give someone $765 million. Because the Mets are now on equal footing or even a step higher when it comes to getting free agents and all that stuff. Like, that's what makes it hard. He was also a great player. He took them to the World Series. He's the difference maker in a team that hasn't been to the World Series since 2009. So all of that plays in. But within a couple of years, I don't know if the Met-Yankee thing still plays in 3 years when he's been a Met for three times as long as a New York Yankee. He wasn't here all but, he was here for 1 year with the Yankees. So I think it's a story today. It'll be a story all year. It'll be a story in May when they play for the first time. But like after that, like it'll still be somewhat of a story. But like he's going to be a Met for 15 years. He was a Yankee for one. Like eventually he's just going to be a Met.
And would you agree that it's not even what Soto does or what the Mets do in that time frame? It'll be the Yankees and how much success they have,
right,
that determines how quickly Yankee fans move on.
Oh,
if
no
Jason
doubt.
Dominguez is what he's supposed to be,
yeah,
if Spencer Jones, Lombard, if they're close to what they're supposed to be,
yeah,
it'll be easier for the fan base to move on from Soto.
Of course,
regardless,
absolutely.
He could win championships with the Mets.
Right.
If the Yankees are able to replace him eventually,
mm-hmm,
people will move on.
Yeah, people will move on. If the Yankees win. Like, if in the next 5 years they each have a championship, I mean, I think you would forget about it. I think you would forget about it. But a lot of talk about, obviously, earlier today, he was booed in Port St. Lucie. A lot of Yankee fans made the trip and decided to boo him. It was, it wasn't overall booing. It was a smattering of both cheers and boos. But the Yankee fan came down to boo a little bit. And I guess it begs the question on what's going to happen the first time he walks into Yankee Stadium. And let me be clear. I mean, I don't think there's a doubt what's going to happen. He's going to get booed. And you heard Juan Soto say it today that he expects the worst, that Yankee fans can surprise him, and he expects the worst, and he's going to get the worst. He's going to get booed. But I will tell you this. If you ask me, I'm not booing him. You do you. You buy the ticket, you do you. I get on Yankee fans for booing Yankees. You want to boo someone in a Met uniform? I don't care who it is. Go boo them. You want to boost someone in another team's uniform, an opponent who's coming in here to beat the Yankees? Everyone's for grabs. I don't care who it is. Honestly, I don't care who it is. Mariano Rivera could have switched teams, came into Yankee Stadium. I probably would give him, he won championships, so I'd give him a standing ovation when he first shows up, and then I would boo the hell out of him. Like, that's, or I would expect the Yankee fans to boo. He's coming in another uniform. But I'm telling you right now, me personally, he had a home run that sent the Yankees to the World Series. He was incredibly fun to watch. I enjoyed last year immensely. Like, that home run alone, I'm not booing the man. I will never boo him. I understand he chose the Yankees. I understand even now, and we talked about that comment from the story. I still, like, I got to be fair, I can't find that comment. Now we're saying that he didn't speak to Sports Illustrated by himself, and they were taking it from the documentary. I don't know if it's in the documentary, but I talked about the comment yesterday that he pretty much said to Sports Illustrated that, you know, I don't know where the Yankees are going to be in 6 or 7 years. I'm not even sure he said that. And when I did the rant, I kind of separated it. I said that I don't know if Juan Soto said it, and then I just kind of went off on a rant to anybody who would think along those lines, not necessarily Juan Soto. But Juan Soto is giving you every other answer except the money. Like, it's getting a little obnoxious or whatever, but that doesn't change the fact that he came to the Yankees, he gave them an historic season. Watching him and Judge back-to-back was hearkening back to Mantle and Maris. It was hearkening back to Gehrig and Ruth. Like, it was an unbelievable pleasure to watch those two guys back-to-back. And then he hit the home run that sent him to the World Series. So if a Yankee fan was asking me what they should do, I think when he gets announced, we should all just not do anything. And not because we want to stick it to him. Like, I heard Tiki and Evan talking today, and Tiki was just like, don't do anything. It's worse. It's worse than booing him. Don't do anything. I don't want to. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to cheer him. I'm not going to boo him. But it's not because I want to upset him more than booing him. I just don't think he deserves boos, and he doesn't deserve cheers anymore because he's not in a Yankee uniform. So I'm just going to pretend like it's another player up there. But I would never. I'm sorry. I would have a tough time booing someone who sent my team to the World Series. I'm not going to do it. No matter how he left, no matter how he keeps talking about it, no matter whether that story in particular is true or how he feels about the Yankees or whatever the case may be, whether all the nonsense we heard about, security guards and his family, I don't care about any of that. I don't care why. And Met fans, this is my plea to you, and I asked Evan as well, why do we still care? Like, why do we have to justify why he came here? Or why he went to the Mets? Like, and I'm not big with this big brother, little brother crap that we kind of get into. Every once in a while I reference it, and I'll do it here, because I do think this one is a little bit true for Met fans who want to tell me, because I get inundated with it, that now they're the big brother, and that's why I'm upset, and I'm crying because the Mets are the big brother in town now, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'll just say, nothing screams little brother than someone trying to, day in and day out, consistently try and prove their big brother. Like, nothing screams little brother than, oh, this is why. And because the Mets are better, and the Mets have a better this, and the Mets have a better that, and the Mets are going to be better in the next years because of this, that, and the other. Like, he chose the Mets mostly about money. Other things played a role, his family, his belief in the owner. Absolutely. I said it the day he signed. I still feel that way. It was mostly about the money. But Juan Soto and the Mets have bent over backwards to say it was anything but. And I don't know why. For a team right now in a fan base that is thrilled that you have the richest owner willing to spend money. Like, this is what you've been waiting for. This is why you're thrilled the guy is here. And now he's rich and he's a billionaire and he's buying players. And now you don't want to use that. You don't want to take, that can't be the credit because that's not good enough. And I don't know why. I just don't know why. I don't know why we can't just say it was mostly about the money. Because it wasn't a huge number of money. Again, I'll give it to you. There are other reasons. But why do we, and I'm not even saying promote those reasons. That's fine. But at some point, can we acknowledge it was about the money? That he wasn't going to the Mets for free or for less money? That's all. And I don't know why Met fans care so much to prove it to Yankee fans that it wasn't just the money. Why do you need more than just the player? You got the player. Why do you need the better situation and the better family-oriented and the better this and the better that just to try and like make it seem like you got the player? Now go win. That's what it should be about. You got the player. Now go win and be big brother on the field. Because being big brother, for all the reasons why Juan Soto chose to be here, they need to come to fruition before it friggin' matters. We could say, oh, the farm system, oh, the future, oh, the GM, all that stuff. That's fine. Those are answers that come in years. They don't show up on Thursday. And you got to prove those things are correct. You could say it till you're dead, and until you're blue in the face about how we're better at this, we're better at that, we're better at this, we're better at that. You have to do it. Then you can say it. So does all that stuff get wrapped into why he's going to get booed? Absolutely. And I understand why, because even I get frustrated by it as a Yankee fan. I'm surprised Yankee fans get upset about it because they'll dog their own team left and right. To the point I get called a shill if I say anything positive. But yeah, it gets my back up when someone else knocks the organization. Sure. We're Yankee fans. It should. That's okay. It should. Even if you slightly agree with it, you should be like, screw you. I can say it. You can't. So I get that's why he's probably, I don't think there's a doubt he's going to get booed. He chose the Mets. He's made it. He's done everything he can, as well as the Mets, to make it seem like it wasn't just about the money. It was about this is better, that's better. I don't know about the Yankees or whatever, even if that comment's not true, whatever the case may be. That's going to get all wrapped into it. But for me, you hit a home run like that, you have that at bat, you have that moment where you're doing the shuffle, you're shaking your head, you're staring down the pitcher. You dared him to throw a fastball, and when he did, you hit it out for a three-run home run that sent the Yankees to the World Series. Good enough for me. Good enough for me. I ain't going to boo you. Now, when you hit your second home run of the day, I will boo you. But to start the game, no way. And let's say that, too. Curtis Granderson came in and always did well against the Yankees after he played for the Yankees. Robinson Cano came in and hit some home runs. There is no doubt in my mind. None. Juan Soto thrives off of this. He thrives off energy. Good, bad, kinetic, whatever kind of energy you want. What's the other one? Kinetic and, Mr. Spinino at Cary High School is going to be very upset with me. But like he feeds off this. There is no doubt in my mind he is going to have a monster series at Yankee Stadium. I have no doubt because that's who he is. He rises to it. He feeds off of it. And I'm not even saying don't boo because I'm worried he'll be better. He'll be great no matter what. He's a great player. But I don't boo because he hit that home run.